Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio talk program where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever might be on your mind. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me,
it's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
What was the thing? Somebody added something to my title. I don't remember.
Authentic. Oh. Authentic was the last one we added.
There was something new that
something after authentic.
Before that, somebody added like the
before?
Something.
Oh, I wasn't here for this.
Like the wizard or something. I don't know. It had to do with playing Magic the Gathering, I think.
Okay.
There's a picture of me floating around on the internet where, like, I'm wearing like the classic pointy like wizard hat. It almost looks like a Santa Claus hat, but it stands straight up and it's blue with like the stars and the moon and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm wearing my glasses, of course, and then I'm holding like a handful of Magic the Gathering cards in my hand. And so, yeah.
Merlin.
So, no, not Merlin. No? Okay. I'm not that cool.
Just a generic wizard.
I might have been a Merlin apprentice, but then I dropped out to go do radio.
You Harry Potter? Don't tell me you're Harry Potter.
No.
Dumbledore?
There are some things. Huggy. There are some movies and television programs that I have not seen that I refuse to see. Some of them. Like, I have never seen The Titanic.
Really?
Remake.
You're missing out.
The remake. The one with DiCaprio.
Is that a remake?
I didn't know.
It's a remake,
okay.
Yeah.
What was
believe
the
it
original
or not.
One?
Oh, the original one was in, like, I don't know, 78 or something
really?
Like that? Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see the original.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
And it's got, I can't remember who's in it now off the top of my head. You'd recognize, they're like classic actors.
Yeah.
It's, you know, or at
Charlton
least the
lead.
No, but it's somebody like that.
Okay.
You know, who's in it and that kind of. So I saw that one, you know, years and years and years ago. And, like, it would be on the independent television station before cable, ladies and gentlemen. You used to have to choose between UHF and VHF. Very high frequency or ultra high frequency. That's what these things
are. What's the difference?
For.
We're not sure.
Two different dials on your television set. Dials. Actual physical dials.
But other than that.
Right. So
UHF
on the,
was garbage.
Yeah.
For the most part.
So this would be played on the UHF channels. You know, because independent television needed to, you know, put something on that they didn't have to pay for. It didn't cost them very much.
I could catch UHF channels on my portable TV when I was grounded.
Right. Yes. Me too.
Okay.
That's how I discovered Doctor Who.
Okay.
PBS was on UHF where I lived at the time, and they were doing their annual, like, telethon fundraising drive.
There you go.
And in order to, they thought that it would be best if they just did a Doctor Who marathon. For, I don't know, man, like a week or something, right? I just happened to have been grounded for a week to my bedroom.
Perfect.
And I had a black and white television in my bedroom. And so I was able to take some copper wire and attach it to the antenna leads on the back of the TV and sort of make a loop around the upstairs bedroom window. It was a two-story house.
Nice.
Where my bedroom was. I made a loop, and I was able to pick up the channel, and they were playing Tom Baker-era Doctor Who. If you don't know who Tom Baker is, don't worry about it. He's one of the best Doctor Whos of all time, even to this day. And many folks were brought into that series via Tom Baker. He's got a super deep voice and big old googly eyes, and he wears that super colorful long-ass, what do you call it, scarf. Yeah, that Doctor Who was made famous for.
Kids these days have it too easy, you know? It doesn't take very much creativity to, you know, like, kids don't have to do stuff like that.
Yeah. So I got grounded, and I'm like, I got nothing to do. What am I going to do? I turn on the television, and I'm like, oh, VHF sucks, because it's all the ABC, NBC, CBS crap.
Well, that's still better than most of what UHF had.
Except this time.
Except that time.
Right. Right. And okay. I was like, wait a minute, this is pretty cool.
All right.
I not only am I grounded to my room for like a week, they're playing this weird-ass science fiction show that I've never even heard of. It's got a bunch of British people in it. You know? And I'm like, I don't know what this is. And it's all like paper mache and like rubber costumes, like actual physical special effect. They weren't very special, by the way. Because while
for the time.
Yeah,
the time.
I mean, this was
Oh, they were special, all right.
Yeah, very special. Yeah, if you go back and you look at it now, you're like, high school kids could have made this. And like today, sure, no problem. High school kids probably make something better than that today. But back in the day, that was like highfalutin technology.
Isn't that how GWAR started? By a college project?
Yes. It wasn't college. It was an artist's work live space.
Collective.
A little bit of that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there was an old dairy in Richmond, Virginia. And the dairy had closed, and so whoever owned the building was like, what am I going to do? Guess I'll rent space out to, like, artists and stuff. And at the time, laws weren't such where, like, you know, you couldn't sleep where you worked. And so all these artists would just, that was their home. And there was, like, a bay of showers at the end of the hall so they could clean up and stuff like that. So a bit of a commune, but sort of a...
Collective.
A collective, yeah, more than a commune. And it was an artist collective. So they were all artists, painters and dancers and, I mean, you name it. They were artists, musicians, all that kind of stuff. And so one day, and some of these people, multi-talented, so not only were they musicians, but they did other art as well. And so one day, like, somebody had a gig cancel. And a couple of the people were like, well, we could throw a band together real quick. And, you know, and that's how GWAR was born. They just threw together a haphazard band, and all the artists got together and like, let's make some really weird costumes and stuff. And let's make it an outrageous show. And so they went and they did that, and Art Rock was born.
Cool. See, I thought it was some sort of art school or like high school project, and it kind of evolved from there.
But you're not far off. It's just the you know, and these guys weren't far off.
They
out
weren't
of high
paying
school.
For school.
Yeah.
They were just doing their art.
Yeah.
So anyway, 603-283-6160 is the telephone number.
Start 8.
If you would like to join us here. Captain's Log, Stardate 08132023. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
I already did the...
We did the names. Well, we never did figure out what the new name that you've collected is.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
If it comes to me, I'll...
Who gave it to you? Like, do you recall? Was it in the chat room?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think it had something to do with that picture, that you know, the wizard hat or something.
All right, chat room, you know what to do. He rarely looks in your direction, but he might now.
It's not even on my screen right now.
Okay.
So I probably won't look now either.
Well, eventually.
If you want to pull it up on your chosen magic rectangle. Let's get this one out of the way real quick. Free Talk Live, what's your name, please?
Hey, it's Scooter.
You mean Scooby?
Scooter.
Skeevy?
No, it's Scooter, the guy who was calling the other day and always calls, and I'm always right, and you guys are always wrong, and you'll never
Skyler.
Talk. Scooter.
Skyler.
Scooter.
Yeah, what's up? What's up, Skeevy?
Yeah.
How come you sound weird today?
Because it's not really him.
As I was saying...
According to the caller ID...
Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't sound like him.
I thought maybe someone was, like, prank calling.
Maybe they are, but if they are, they're spoofing his number, too.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah, which is even more impressive. Anyway, go ahead, Scooter.
Right, so...
Wrong.
We need to end the government...
Okay.
...by increasing government. We need more and more government. It'll collapse... that way. It doesn't matter how many people suffer or die in the process.
Why not?
Because the fact that the society will get may be pro-government, that's a side issue. The main point is we need to end the government by increasing the government. If you guys would ever let me talk, you would know that.
Well, fortunately for us, we don't ever let you talk, so we'll never know that.
Well, I'm okay ending the government. I don't want to increase the government to get there necessarily.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
However, that totally makes sense.
Well, however, I'm also okay with any and all collateral damages that comes with ending the government as soon as possible.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I would prefer.
You're going to extend the duration of how long governments act because some people aren't ready for it?
I mean, we can't end slavery now because the slaves won't know what to do. So to me, it's not necessarily about people being ready for it, but I don't know how much, you know, bloodshed there needs to be. You know, I would like it to go as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
I don't think more government is the way to get less government.
I agree with
Typically,
that.
Typically, that's not how things work.
But if there was no government tomorrow, right?
I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
But, like, half the population of the planet was, like, snapped like Thanos, just gone. But you ended the government, would you be okay with losing, like, 3.5 billion people along the way?
It depends who they are, I guess.
Yeah, like, if it was me, no.
Obviously.
But if it wasn't me, I'd have to think about that.
And this inflated ego on my part, but I go, well, I could survive that. Not necessarily a snap, but whatever you get through.
Go ahead, Scooter.
I'm tired of you guys, and again, you keep talking, and I love the sound of my own voice, so I wish you would let me hear my voice more, because I love the way it sounds.
Okay, well, we'll stop right here, so go ahead.
Yes.
How did you spoof Scooby's number?
I am the real Scooter, the authentic Scooter, the only Scooter, and...
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. I just lost my thought because the notes that I've written down are gone, and I was only going by my notes, you guys. If I had the humility to admit that I'm embarrassed right now, I would do that, but I don't, so I'm going to hang up the phone.
Scooter, thank you for the call, man. We'll talk to you again another time. Peace. That's one of the best... sort of prank calls that like ever.
Yeah.
And so, let's go to this one. Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Yo, it's your boy, the real subjective Scooter.
Oh, we just talked to you.
No, they can't call more than twice.
Yeah, sorry. One call per night.
One call per night. Sorry, we have a rule, man. Now go
that
ahead.
That guy sounded too beta to be me. I have a more Sigma voice, don't I?
Definitely
not Alpha.
It was easier to talk to him than it was to talk to you, that's for sure. But only because he spoke at a pace that was about this fast.
And because he had nothing of substance to offer, that's why he let you guys
talk.
I think that was
a pretty accurate parody.
No, some of it was pretty accurate. I have a bunch of notes.
I was going to say, Skeeter, what's on your notes for today? Let's get this out of the way.
It's again, it's subjective value because you guys keep butchering it. You guys are still totally confused.
Don't you have anything else?
I'm going to try to. No, but it's really important. I mean,
I am not going to interject this time. I'm going to let it get all the way to the end.
Thank you. I don't mind interjecting. It's just let me lay out like my position and the definitions first.
Well, your position is terrible, but get into it anyway.
So again, I'm a true market proponent, unlike Naptards, right? I'm an evolutionary.
What's the difference between the true market and the free market? I just want to know.
That's the captain. That wasn't me.
Okay, yeah. That's good. I mean, I don't. Take me off course. I can explain it real quickly. So I don't think the market will preclude aggression. There's something I call evolutionary profitable aggression.
Okay, so
I'm an evolutionary utilitarian. My morality depends on an objective intrinsic value theory called the relative theory of evolutionary value, right? I'm going to approach this subjective theory of value debate in a different way, hopefully to break through the illusion of sloppy riches echo chamber and toddler emporium. From here on out, I'm going to refer to the subjective theory of value as the STV, you know, for short. So the STV from the Mises.org, right? So, you got to put aside anything having to do with exchange or price, because the subjective theory of value does not directly have anything to do with those. Those are corollaries that follow, okay? So the subjective theory of value says, the subjective theory of value, and I'm going to take out the labor theory of value part so it's clearer. The subjective theory of value is a doctrine of value which advances the idea that the value of a good is not determined by any inherent property of the good. This is where I have a problem. but instead is determined by the importance and acting individual places on a good for the achievement of their desired ends, right? So from, and here's something to add to that so it gives more clarity. This is from a YouTube lecture from the Mises Institute by one who gives a lecture on the subjective theory of value all the time. And by subjective value, what we mean as economists is the value is nothing more than an intensive state of mind. Value exists only in our minds. It is a state of mind. It lacks an extensive property. There is nothing outside of our mind that is related to value that we are assessing in our minds. It is a judgment that we make in our minds. It is the idea, that is the idea of subjectivity. Now, okay. If this is correct, well, anyways.
So I'm not interrupting, but we'll take that on its face. Now,
yeah.
what is your, define your objective theory of value and why it's a better proposition?
Okay, so mine is called the relative theory of evolutionary value, right? And it says, sorry, my throat's fine. And it says,
he's not used to talking this much.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm surprised. So it says that normative economics or morality does exist, right? Objective morality. And the value of any good or action can be measured by the actor or anyone else, not just the actor for their own good or objectives. Value is objective and is determined by the inherent properties of the good or action, the state of the consumer, and the context and method in which it's consumed or executed, good or action. There can be an attempt at predicting value, expected value, using past data and intelligence, or it can be measured in the consequences after consumption or execution of the strategy. The prediction or measurement can be done by anyone for anyone and not limited to the actor for their own desired ends. Any good or action has within it potential value depending on the state of the consumer and the context in how it's applied. The potential values are determined by the good or actions' inherent properties. The mind of the actor has very little to do, if anything, with value, including Captain CD. I messed that up last time because it was in the heat of a debate and I misapplied the definitions.
Wait, are you saying you were wrong?
Yeah, in the heat of the debate, the value of Captain CD
Bravo.
Is objective.
Bravo.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say this is a pretty successful call.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said? It was the only concession that Rich thought he was right on. I'm saying I was wrong giving that to him. So I was saying I was wrong, but I was right.
Making progress here.
Skeeter, I thought I was wrong once, but I was mistaken.
I hope you're not making a joke.
I am making a joke. What do you think I do here? Don't you listen to the show? Do you just call and not listen to the show?
Can you be serious for a second?
No, I can't. It's impossible. Have you heard me on the radio?
After he called last week, I don't know if I commented on the air or during the break. I don't recall. I think, Scooter, that you are...
Utility?
Conflating, yes, utility and value.
Yeah, you... I was trying to prime Captain last night on Beard Talk Live. I was trying to give him my documents, right, with all the links for justifications of all my definitions, which I haven't given yet.
No, I actually received a link to a Google document that I'm not opening because I just don't trust links from people I don't know.
It's just a Google document. Don't worry about it. It's just a Google document.
I'm not worried about it. All right, so...
Yeah, so anyways, if you want to understand... So, I have a link in there that shows what values defined as in terms from the Mises Institute. They admit it's marginal utility of the good. The problem is utility does have some ambiguity to it. In some moral views, it's defined as happiness.
That's another weird one.
Some economic things.
You mentioned morality in your definition, and I don't know if morality necessarily plays into value or utility at all.
It feels irrelevant.
Yes.
It does feel irrelevant.
That's the thing. That's where I was trying to get to, too. Also,
more irrelevant.
There's ulterior ulterior motives when constructing a value theory. For instance, the labor theory of value. I contend that Marx had an ulterior motive trying to give more importance to the labor or the blue-collar worker, right, than he really has in the economy.
But even Marx, right, even if you ascribe or subscribe to the labor theory of value, right, it is easily disproven by anything.
People are unable to sell,
no matter how much labor they put into it.
Yeah. I don't want to debate the. I don't adopt the labor theory of value. I'm just saying there's. I'm giving an example that I think we can agree on that there's an ulterior motive, right? I don't care about the legitimacy or the accuracy of the labor theory of value or the truthfulness, right?
But I'm saying by example.
I think it's fallacious.
By example, your theory is also easily disproven.
Hold on. First, the criticism. I don't think I want to put my theory of value under scrutiny.
I wouldn't either. That
then
bad,
why did you call?
Because I'm criticizing the subject of theory of value, not
putting my theory
of value under scrutiny.
You just want to criticize us, but we can't criticize you.
Well, it's above scrutiny.
I'm happy
if you try to criticize, forget it.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Apart.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy to put it under scrutiny. It's just I have limited time, depending on how the mood of Captain.
You have limited time. You're right.
The wizard.
You're right.
I can choose my battles, right? I want to put my value theory under scrutiny later, but
you're probably calling the wrong show for this, man. Like, first of all, a part of our mission here, because we're on the radio, we have to be. In addition to, you
number
know,
one, entertaining.
Yeah, we have to be entertaining. Now, we've just sat through,
I don't know,
like 15 minutes of you babbling on about your theories of value and your stance and all that. And I got to tell you, dude, boring. I'm not saying what you're saying doesn't have value or that it's not
valuable to me.
Up for debate and that it wouldn't be something that you would enjoy. But for radio, dude, boring. Thanks for the call. Don't be boring, man. You know?
So give out the number, because I want to know.
603-283-6160.
Should I have let him go on, or should I just like put the kibosh on it early like I usually do?
Just hang up on him mid-sentence.
That's what I did. I mean,
Scooter number one was
a far superior caller to actual Skeeter.
Even though he said the same stuff.
Yeah.
Right? We knew it was a parody, and that made for more entertaining radio.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. Coming up, I have good news! And
good
news,
everyone.
No, it's not a suppository. Good news, that's right. And then something about a peacock. That's right, a peacock. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live, the Sunday night edition. More is on the way.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. A Hawaii congressman who represents Maui is calling the apparent siren failure during the wildfires tragic. Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Jill Takuda called the sirens the, quote, first line of defense. At least 93 people have been killed in the wildfires. Former Vice President Mike Pence says his former boss got bad advice from a group of, quote, crackpot lawyers about the vice president's role in counting electoral votes. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, he suggested the lawyers were simply telling the former president what he wanted to hear. The chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee is criticizing President Biden's deal to free five American prisoners held in Iran. Texas Republican Congressman Michael McCaul said on Fox News Sunday he disagreed with unfreezing $6 billion in Iranian assets. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Get it on. It's Free Talk Live.
The telephone number is
the Radio Puke Voice. Yeah, that's right. It's 60. I can't do that for very long. This is just, wow.
It's like people nails on a chalkboard.
Can you believe that that was like the thing that people looked for in radio people? Hey, if you can do this really well, we want to hire you. We want to give you a job. We want to put you on the air. Woo! Right? Like, oh my God.
And really, they should be looking for guys that sound like Zeus.
They should.
Like, that's really what you're supposed to sound like.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine how much cocaine those guys had to do just to keep that gig up?
Probably a lot.
Right? To get that upbeat energy all of, like, through an entire drive time?
At, like, 5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, man. That's, you know, not my gig.
That's before cold brew and nitro coffee and bulletproof coffee.
I'm just so glad that, like...
They just have to drink it black.
Oh,
I'm glad that these, the overnight shift.
I'm glad that these fads go away, you know?
It is fun to watch them come and go, though.
Yeah,
the fads.
I guess. Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160 if you want to call. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Before we go on, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Unfortunately, due to government meddling, the company that partnered with Dash to offer Dash Direct is leaving the crypto business. However, they weren't the only provider
of discounted gift cards for Dash. Bitrefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, even prepaid MasterCards. You could actually live off your Dash using bitrefill.com, plus many of their gift cards come with a discount. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use. Start by learning more at dash.org. And thank you to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit dash.org to learn about Dash. That's dash.org. All right. So leading up into or coming out of the first segment, I said, as we were going to break, that I have good news.
Good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone. And no, it's not a suppository. We talked about this a little bit on Beard Talk Live last night, but it's such good news. I wanted to, well, tell you guys and also give it a chance to be on terrestrial radio because, as most folks know, Beard Talk Live is internet streaming only. If you're an amplifier, you get Beard Talk Live automatically, and it's also put up on, like, the SoundCloud site. But if you didn't tune in live, you did not hear this news. This is from the Free Thought Project. Following disastrous war on terror, United States veterans try to stop students from joining up.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like they're counter-protesting the military enrollment booth?
I read this, and I had the... I'm like, well, wait, what does that mean? What... Veterans are trying to stop people, kids, school-age kids, from joining the military? So,
from being preyed upon by military recruiters?
Because that's what they do. I remember they went to my college and my high school, and they were kind of like, they're like, which one of these kids looks like they're poor and would do anything for a free education? You know, like, they poach people. It's gross.
There was one, like, social media post or meme or whatever, and the guy was saying something to the effect of, well, you can't cancel the student loans because then the military will have no one to recruit with.
I mean, don't even think that's true because I know of a lot of people who are, like, very gung-ho to go into the military, and, you know, it's a family thing, right. And they're encouraged by
brother, we get to kill some MFers.
Yeah, well, even, like, they're encouraged by, like, their grandparents and their parents, like, oh, my, you know, my great-grandfather was in World War II and all this crap.
My grandpa was a vet, my brother was a vet, my great-great-great-great-grandfather 10 times removed was a veteran. Yeah.
And I will say a lot of kids go into it maybe with good intentions. And they're just misled and maybe misinformed.
That is definitely
true. You know, like,
true.
Oh, I want to, they're, you know, very conservative usually. I want to serve my country. Like, they feel like they're doing something really beneficial.
The propaganda is thick.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's a predatory organization. Yes. They prey on the young men's testosterone levels and energy levels because that's when you have the highest level of frustration. Right, and so you want to get all that frustrated energy out of you as a young man, and they take advantage of that by giving you an outlet that puts you in a morally compromising position.
Yeah.
And okay, so for me, I did well in high school, right? But I did not come from a wealthy family, so realistically, the only reason that I am not a military veteran is because I got a good financial aid package for college.
Congratulations.
Right. Like I was smart enough to go to college.
Yeah.
You know, regrets now because whatever.
But I would rather regret going to college than regret joining the military.
Understood. Right?
Yeah. I think in the grand scheme you made out.
Right. But if I couldn't get into college with the financial aid, right, I would have used the military to then get into college later. But I got a good financial aid package. So okay. I don't need your military guys anymore.
Yeah. When Gulf War I struck, when it was Desert Shield, right? Because it wasn't a war yet. It was just the build-up. Well, we're going to send some troops very close by, and we're going to do some flybys, and we're going to put a bunch of ships in the area. Now we've got some troops on the ground, but we're going to shield them. We're not going to, like, we're just going to protect them. We're not going to engage offensively, right? And then I was at a Judas Priest and Megadeth concert.
That sounds awesome.
Nice segue.
Yeah. And, like, you know, all the lights go down and Dave Mustaine comes out and he's like, I just wanted you to know that at 6:15 Pacific time, we effing bombed Iraq.
Wow.
And then they bust it out, like, all the lights come on and like, they bust it out, peace sells, but who's buying?
Yeah,
and there was a stage rush on the likes of which I have never seen before at a metal show. Like, I think some kids got their ribs crushed and that kind of a thing because of the stage rush and whatever. And like, the mosh pit was just off the hook.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was of draft age. I think this was 91, maybe. When
that sounds right.
Off,
yeah.
I want to say, I'm terrible with numbers, so but it was in that pocket, 90, 91, 92, somewhere in there. But I was still of draft age, and so, of course, my thoughts turned to that. And I was like, yeah, no. Yep. I am not getting drafted. I got to figure out how to not get drafted. You know, I'm like, what kind of physical ailments do I have? Let me take catalog of them now. You know, what's conscientious objecting? That's when I first learned about that. Right. I'm like, oh, people have gotten out of the draft by this invoking these particular words, you know. So I'm looking at like ways because I'm like, there's no way I'm going to kill people.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was just my thought at the process. And I was still a statist at that time. Right. So I was really glad to hear this news from this particular article. Now, according to the article, across the country, anti-war veterans and their allies are working together in an effort to stop the U.S. military from reaching its recruiting goals. We did an article about it on Free Talk Live several weeks ago. I don't know if it was the Sunday show or not, but the military is having a hard time.
Yeah.
Harder time than normal meeting its recruiting goals.
And lowering standards galore.
Right. The organization here is called We Are Not Your Soldiers. And if I remember correctly, it's weareNotYourSoldiers.org is their website.
WANIS.
W-A-N-Y-I. Yeah, WANIS. Yeah.
WANIS.
That's a good ring to it, you know?
We Are Not Your Soldiers is a project of New York City-based nonprofit World Can't Wait. So they're a sub-organization of a nonprofit organization. The organization sends military veterans into schools to share honest stories of the harm that they have caused and suffered. In doing so, they hope to prevent young people from signing up.
I mean, that's amazing. Because there is so much propaganda going on, targeted towards children. And it's really sad because a lot of those kids, they're not hearing the other side of the story. Like,
right.
They don't understand the kind of PTSD some of these vets are living with. And it's no joke.
And if
missing limbs.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, that is no joke.
And if your dad or your uncle, your grandfather, whomever is a veteran, it's very unlikely that they're going to tell you the chilling and horrific details of the hell that is war.
Yeah, I have a family member who was drafted into, like, Korea or Vietnam or something, and it took them a very long time to be able to even speak about it. And there was, like, some crazy stuff that happened. I mean, like, my family thought he was maybe not, like, they didn't know if he was alive or not at one point, and then eventually he came back, but, you know, like, there was a lot of stuff that, I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty heavy stuff, especially if you're drafted. Like, a lot of those guys that were drafted, I mean, like, they're forcing you to do this essentially against your will. Like, obviously, there's ways to get out of it, but then it's like, oh, you're a draft dodger, and then there's all of that, you know, negative connotation
and
that goes around
with
that.
And there's peer pressure from, like, your family and your friends. They're like, oh, you're going to be a draft dodger? You're going to man up and fight for your country, son.
You know, you're going to be you know, a wuss, or you're going to man up. And,
right.
I mean, that's not necessarily...
Even worse, if you're female.
Yeah.
You don't get drafted yet, but the horror story is just coming out of boot camp.
Yeah, like,
not
sexual
even the
assault?
Enemies. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, like your own...
Your same team.
People, yeah.
Yeah. Supposed to be on your team, but...
It is horrific. Yeah.
Quote, I wish I had somebody who told me when I was young, says Miles Megasif, who was stationed in Cuba and Okinawa with the U.S. Marine Corps from 1992 to 96. The experiences I've lived, as painful as they are, and as much as I don't like to relive them, are valuable to help future adults not live through those experiences. We wanted to get to the people who are going to be the next recruits, says Deborah Sweet, the executive director of World Can't Wait. When We Are Not Your Soldiers launched in 2008, so this organization's been around for a minute, When they launched in 2008, the experience was often very intense for the veterans. They were all fresh out of either Afghanistan or Iraq, Sweet remembers. It was very raw, and it was very hard. It was really hard for them to go talk to people in public about what had happened, and we learned a lot about PTSD up close and personal and how it was affecting people. Because you can imagine, as these veterans are trying to tell their stories to these kids,
super triggering, yeah.
That they're going to get triggered, maybe they're going to have an episode. Like, I was roommates with a Vietnam vet who had grand mal epilepsy, and like if he were talking about some of the stuff that he did in Vietnam, he would just sort of lose it, eyes roll back into his head, and it would trigger a seizure. Because he got like grazed in the head, you know, and shot in the chest when he was over there. So I can imagine how difficult it is for these. But you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of the opposite of the old program, Scared Straight. You ever hear this?
I'm familiar with that. What's the okay.
So this would be the opposite. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same, but it's like it's sort of using the horrors of war to like let kids know that like, hey, you're going to go experience hell.
Yeah.
Instead of like, oh, it'll be fine. You'll learn to run some computers, and you can get into IT, and you'll get some college money. Like, no. You're going to be given a gun, and you're probably going to be responsible for killing some people.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's the cold, hard facts, right? So this reminds me of, like, the good version of Scared Straight.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a lot. I don't know if I want to say there's a lot, but there have been stories about counter-protesters like this, trying to get on the school, and just being banned from the campus.
Yeah.
Or like, we're not going to allow you to come tell the truth about this.
Right.
So hopefully they're able to either get on the campus or somewhere nearby where they're still making a scene. Whatever happened to the Iraq Veterans Against the War?
I was thinking that organization and this organization should
get together
and work hand in hand or, you know.
Collaborate.
Yeah, collaborate, because this sounds like a great idea. Over 50 veterans have participated in We Are Not Your Soldiers. Currently, the project relies on a group of 9 veterans who receive a stipend of $125 for each visit. Teachers affiliated with World Can't Wait offer curricular support to veterans so they can connect their stories to the class lessons. So the teachers themselves are working with the veterans to, like, you know, sort of tie in what the veteran stories are going to be with whatever their curriculum, whatever they're teaching at that particular time.
I mean, I think this is really great because a lot of the times, like, we can, you know, say things that are anti-war, but, you know, oh, whatever, you're a hippie and you don't get it.
You've
never been
there. You can't say anything.
Exactly. But if you have a vet who's like, hey, you know, I did some really bad stuff. Some really bad stuff happened to me. Now I have PTSD. Now I'm going through all of this stuff. No one told me this was going to happen. Like, this was not worth it.
Right.
If you have people like that who are anti-war, that honestly speaks volumes more than anything I can say as some, like, 25-year-old hippie chick. Like, obviously I'm against war. But when you have, like, actual people who have served in the military and have lived it, they've seen it firsthand, you know?
Like, I'm not a big fan of veterans or the military in general, but it seems to be a good on-ramp into the liberty movement as well.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot of disgruntled vets going like, all right, that was a big mistake, and I'm going to go this direction now, too. So
the bitter veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one who...
I'm more okay with those than normal vets.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. 100%. And in fact, I would like to see current active military folks acting in more libertarian ways.
Yeah.
Standing up for themselves, standing up for their fellow military.
That'd be kind of hard because vow, or I don't know if they're vows, but like the vows
the
you
oath,
take. Yeah, the oath. Yeah, that's a better word for it. Yeah. The oaths they take,
if they took those oaths with some logic and reason to them, they would be like, oh, wait, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not protecting the homeland. I'm not, you know, serving the people, right? If that was true, if they were really upholding their oaths, they would invade D.C.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just saying. And so
like
I think...
January 6th people.
I think that...
Yeah, look how it worked out for them.
I can't... I keep thinking back to, I was watching like two different like live streams of that thing going on.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people streaming stuff, and I picked a couple of them, and I'm like, I'll watch this one, and I'll watch this one. I had two different TVs going on. And like the one guy was like, I can't believe this. This is like old men with canes that are here that are, you know, part of the. And I'm like, and I looked around. I'm like, yeah, there's like a bunch of gray haired guys and like biker looking dudes and like grandfatherly type, you know, men and that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, this is weird because usually you see these types of protests and it's the young.
Yeah.
Right. You look at.
They're like angsty. Yeah. Got the energy for that.
Occupy Wall Street and all that kind of crap, right? You know, or any of these globalist protests or whatever. It's always the kids who go out and do them because they get the energy and the time and, you know. And the parents are like, well, have a nice protest, kids. We'll have some juice boxes when you get back.
Don't throw too many bricks.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That they leave out for you on the sidewalk.
I know.
So, yes. A shout out to. What was the name of this organization? We Are Not Your Soldiers.
Weenus. Or Weenus.
That's something else.
Wannis.
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 All right.
We Are Not Your Soldiers. Shout out to those guys for doing great work. Keep it up. If we can help, let us know. 603-283-6160. If you're a part of this organization and you want to talk about what you're doing, what your plans are for the future, give us a call and let us know that too.
Yeah, still an open phone show. You can call in, plug it all you want.
Yes, please. So, segue. I don't really have one.
Oh, okay.
So, cold segue.
Peacocks.
This from Smart News?
Whatever.
No, sorry, SmithsonianMag.com. Can peacock vasectomies save this Florida town?
Oh, God, I hope so.
What a great segue.
Residents.
Let's stop kids from murdering other kids in foreign countries. Let's talk about peacocks in Florida.
Peacock vasectomies.
Even better.
Yeah.
You'll need the hard hitting, like really important news here on Free Talk Live.
On Sunday.
She said hard.
Yeah, she did.
Cue Beavis and Butthead left.
We're like radio hosts or something. Residents of Pinecrest. Don't want to kill the colorful birds, but they do want to keep their growing population in check. I assume they mean the birds' growing population, not their growing population.
Depends. Kamala probably, Harris live there?
Yeah, probably both, honestly.
They do have a nice photo of a...
The peacocks were there first.
Fully, what do they call it when the...
Plumage?
The plumage, yeah, the peacock in plume.
Yeah.
Full plume.
It's mating season.
What's the Klingon? Oh, Ponfar. Right, the Klingon mating. Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry. You out-nerded us.
I did.
Also, it's kind of funny that they're calling it a peacock vasectomy, because typically, like, when you're talking about dogs, it's like, oh, you got them fixed, or...
Spayed or neutered.
Okay. They're like, oh, a vasectomy. I'm like, yeah, can you really do that to a bird?
That's weird. It's a good
weird language to be using.
This is why we have you around, Nikki, to give us the medical perspective.
You know, and it did make it a little bit more spicy, though, you know?
Just collect all the peacock eggs, and then you don't have to worry about them getting fertilized.
Yeah. Can you eat those?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I'm sure somebody's
can
tried.
Can you get one? I would totally eat a peacock egg. Yeah. On air.
Really?
On air, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
That's right. A good Freer Talk Live episode.
If you want to send Richie Rich a peacock egg for him to eat live on air, let us know. 603-283-6160.
Even better, give me a bald eagle egg and label it a
peacock egg.
But label it a peacock egg so the feds don't know. I'll eat a bald eagle egg on air.
So since there's bald eagles,
are
there also eagles with, like, skullets?
I don't know. Meagles?
You know what a skullet is, right?
Yeah, like the mullet.
It's the mullet, but it's the bald guy, but he's got the long hair in the back. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a skullet.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. Are there skullet eagles?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I could probably Photoshop that.
Yeah. It might have already been done.
Probably.
I mean, if you can think of it, it's on the internet, right?
Do it with Captain Kickass's head, though.
Just... Yeah.
There was one time where I was at some sort of a theatrical thing. This girl I was dating was in a community theater kind of thing. And so they had this box of, like, costume stuff, like, sitting next to the stage while they were rehearsing, and I went to go, like, pick her up
and
from rehearsal.
And started LARPing.
What I found, though, was a fake beard, right? It had the elastic strap that goes around the back of your head.
Yep.
And I already had my head shaved and everything, and so I just put it on backwards on the back of my head, and so it was a skullet.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a picture of it somewhere.
We do have one.
We have a skullet?
No, we have the fake beard.
The fake beard.
Oh, yeah, that's not...
not high enough quality.
Poofy enough to...
Yeah, okay.
It's already touched Mark's face. Right. You don't want to put it on your
head. Yeah. If I put it on, too, it kind of like... Yeah, ugh. It was pretty gross.
I wouldn't want to, you know, turn, you know, that egoist on live radio.
I would totally rock the skullet when I started losing my hair.
Yeah?
Yep. I'm going to be like the long hair ball cap guy.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
That guy.
I've seen him before.
I wear enough hats as it is that I could pull it off. No one would even notice.
Unfortunately, my noggin appears to be large, at least for regular hat sizes.
Okay.
You know, like, if I go to, like, any big box store and, like, whatever hats they have on the shelf,
okay.
I go large or extra large, like, it's a tight fit on the old noggin.
Right. Fair enough.
I can get custom ones, of course, or I can get the elastic ones. Well, even the adjustable ones, like a regular-ass ball cap with the plastic...
Yeah.
Adjustable thing, even if you put it on like the last one, it's still not.
Wow.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
We need a market for ball cap extenders.
I mean, I'm not really that big a fan of hats anyway.
Well, we can't be the only guy with too huge of a head to fit a ball cap, though.
There's got to be more than one.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure. I'm sure, like, you know, I think proportionately my head doesn't appear to be, you know, larger than the rest of my body or whatever, but yeah.
You can rock the derby and just rest it on top.
What I really wanted to get was like a
pork pie.
You know how people get the hairpiece?
Oh yeah,
right. But I don't want that. I want like the mohawk version of the hairpiece.
Okay.
I want to be able to like just put on like a temporary mohawk on my head.
Okay. Can we do that?
I think the only way you can do that is with like spirit gum, right?
Yeah.
The Halloween costume thing.
Okay.
We can arrange that, absolutely. You know, double-sided tape.
Just so I could go to like a punk rock concert or something with like the giant, you know.
Do the body mod and full screws like in your head. And
oh,
you
don't
just,
do
like,
that. Yeah, no. Too far.
No, but then you can just like, you know, snap on the mohawk.
Just staple it right into your head.
No, you mount the screws and you snap on the mohawk.
Oh, no. Magnets.
That too.
Magnets. Yeah. If you got steel.
That can't be good for your brain. Then,
no, it can't.
It's not even going to touch your brain. It's like under the dermal part above the skull.
He said dermal.
You're supposed to be the medical person here. Figure this out, Nikki.
No, I think
people
it's
do
the
it.
Proximity to the brain. I don't know.
Proximity to the brain?
Coming up, we have
it's
more.
A whole skull in the way.
We have more to talk about these loud and flashy peafowl and what they've done to this suburb. Here on Free Talk Live, the telephone number 603-283-6160. Hour number two is next.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.